Unintentional, for sure, but this is now our third year, Habalein Lotov, of this series of shurim, and each time we've started earlier. The inaugural shur was on a Parshas Noach, because Bereshis 2 years ago was a 3-day yontif, so we couldn't then. Last year we started for Parshas Bereshis, and this year we're trying to get even some of Devarim in. So, Mirz Hashem, we should continue to add Parshos and learning together. Welcome everyone back. I do that in the same breath by telling you that we'll be no shur next week. I and I assume many of members of the shir, the shul and shir will be at a wedding in New York, and stay tuned for the week after that. I'm not sure with Elul and my schedule, but I hope Bli Neder is to give as consistently as possible, certainly from Bereshis, but even before then. And also want to take this opportunity to thank the Tarragons, Sonny and Cheryl, for sponsoring this year. We thank all of our sponsors, and we thank them in that vein, and on a very personal level, I thank them for the spirit in which they sponsored tonight's shir in my honor. Perhaps, therefore, Sonny, in your honor, and by extension, all of us who are fortunate to be married, I want to take us back a moment to that blissful time that was known as Shana Rishona. The maiden year, the first year of marriage. And it really comes from our Parsha. It comes from our Parsha of all places, Parsha's Kisetse. It's a truism in life, and even in Torah, I guess, that sometimes, you know, out of the messiest and sometimes most tragic of circumstances, actually is some of the most, is the best, and the greatest beauty. So in the context of a Parsha dealing with war, and in particular this these few psukim, but we have a reference to... especially as the Mefarshim understand it, to the great Ahava and commitment that is supposed to be between a husband and a wife. The foundation, of course, the first year, but not limited to the first year. The Torah here in Parshas Kisetze, in Parak Chavdalid, Pasuk Hay, tells us the following. I hope I have the right Pasuk. Wrong side. Here we go. Okay. You did? I think you had Bamidbar, but anyway. Okay. Ki yigach ish isha. You get married, but not to stam to chadasha, a new wife, which we'll see the relevance of that pasuk, as Chazal understand it. Lo yete betava, you shouldn't go out in the army. Lo yavor alav l'chol davar. That's an interesting and somewhat intriguing phrase. You should not obligate him in anything. Naki elabezo, rather he should be free to be committed to his home. Shana achas, a full year, and in so doing, v'simachas ishto shalakach, he should be able to gladden the heart to make happy his new wife. Many of the Rishonim, and I'll read for you the Lashon of the Rambam, but you should know that this is echoed by both the Sefer HaChinuch and the Smag, see in this pasuk not one, but in fact two, different mitzvos d'oraisa, following the lead of the Rambam, a mitzvah aseh and a mitzvah los aseh. So let's take a look first, just as our standard example, the Rambam sheet. The Rambam says in mitzvah aseh resh yud dalid 214, he should chosen him ishto shana tamima. Supposed to be a certain, doesn't mean yichud in the formal sense, but there's supposed to be a certain, you know, more intensive commitment in time shared and spent between a husband and a wife in their first year of marriage, and this is an obligation that the husband has to give his time to his wife. You shouldn't, therefore, be involved in things that take you away from the house. Most explicitly, and of course this is the context of the Chumash, is to fight a battle, although we will see it's very unclear in the Rambam in particular, but it's a general machlokas of poskim of whether other trips are allowed. Perhaps you can't go to the battlefront, but what about a business trip to Seattle? So that'll also be discussed. But rather, what should you do? What is the crux of this mitzvah? Says the Rambam, Yisamach ima ad melosh shana miyom ba'o eloha. Rather, they should have a year in mamash, just like the yortzeit, lahavdil of alpei avdolos, is established from the year right after the tzir. So too, says the Rambam, from the time they're together that first time, that bias mitzvah, for one full year is the mitzvah of shana rishona. That is the pasuk, Naki Yelebeso, Shana Achas, etc. So the mitzvah is Aseh, the Rambam formulates in that positive sense of being there for your wife, Misyached with her, etc. The Rambam alludes to here what he says towards the end of the Sefer Mitzvos, in the mitzvah Shun Yud Aleph 311 of his Los Aseh's. The Rambam tells us, He Shezirenu Me'achios Me. Am I reading right? No, I'm sorry, I read the wrong one. He Shezirenu Me'hosi Achasim Mi'beso, Shana achas kula l'torach min atrochim l'tzaval l'zloso. You shouldn't take him out of his house for the army or something else. We'll have to see what the something else is. Aval nesalik meno kol torach. You should remove any other distractions from him. Kol maser obligations shi'achayev behem la'azov beso kol shana, which would require him to leave his house for this duration of the year. Hu yamar yisala. This is the other half of the pasuk. Lo yavor alav l'chol davar. So the Rambam understands, as we read the pasuk, that lo yavor alav l'chol davar is a little bit vague, a little extra. So the Rambam understands that it's there to clinch the fact that it's not just mitzvah zasei, but there's also mitzvah lo zasei. It's worth noting, although I don't want to spend too much time on it tonight, even though the Rishonim counted as two mitzvahs, a lo zasei and an asei, there is an important Gemara in Maseches Sota. We'll reference that Gemara in a little bit, but it's worth noting that the Gemara Maseches Sota, Daf Mem Gimel through Mem Daled, do discuss the fact that there's actually two phrases of lo zasei. There's the original, more explicit phrase of don't go to the army. And then there is the lo yavor alav l'chol davar, which the Rambam happens to be the one to quote. And in fact, the Gemara goes back and forth, and the end of the Gemara says, as it sometimes does, why do you have the two psukim? It's not that it's talking about two different cases, it seems like, from the Gemara, but rather, l'chayev alav shnei lavim. Now, what does that mean? So that itself seems to be, as I said, this is just as an aside, a machlokas rishonim that is found here in Sefer Mitzvot, on this mitzvah. There's a Ramban who argues on our Rambam in his formulation, and then, as is typically the case, the Miguel Sester or others who defend the Rambam. And if you take a look at it, you'll see that essentially the crux is that there seems to be a machlokas about how to understand that Gemara of Lavra Lav Shnei Lavan. The Gemara says, we're going to throw the book at you. When you do this, you're actually going to be over on two things. Again, it's not the two that the Rishonim are quoting, because the two that the Rishonim are quoting are one Los Asei and one Asei. Whereas the Gemara is talking about a double Los Asei. So some Rishonim hold that, and this to me is the more conventional, typical way of understanding it, is that for effect. It's not talking about anything different, but we're going to give you a double patch. You know, in order to add to the chumrah of it, you know what I mean? It's like, that's just going to be grounded for 1 week, we're going to take away the keys for 2 weeks. It adds to the chumrah of it. It's the same action, but you're going to get two averas for it. We're going to patch you twice. However, others, and this may be the Rambam, this was debated by the Mefarshei Rambam here, suggest that perhaps it's talking about different situations. Perhaps there's two separate lavim, even though they're not counted as separate mitzvos asei, but mitzvos in the sefer mitzvos, but perhaps there's two separate situations. What are the two separate situations? So what I'm about to tell you in terms of the halacha itself is universally true, but whether they may be two separate lavim, perhaps more of an academic debate, which I don't want to spend too much time on it, but just you should know that there are those who read the psukim this way, and that is, one is, basically you could summarize it more succinctly as say the front lines and the back lines. When you talk about going to the army, so there's fighting on the front lines. And then there's, you know, sweeping the floor in the general's office and taking care of the wounded soldiers in the hospital, v'chule, working, you know, in the factory to make the bombs. There's a lot of other things you can do. This halacha, potters our Shana Rishana fellow, our chosen, blissfully in love, from both. Whether that's all one halacha or two separate halachas, that is this debate that seems to be in the pages of Sefer Mitzvot. That fact is true, though, does seem to be true according to everyone. And in fact, it's that which more or less separates and discerns this parsha from what we learned earlier this month. We have the famous four examples of the Chozrei Me'orchei HaMelchama, when the Kohen Gadol says anyone. So there, when you're at the battlefield and you get patered, you can go back. You don't have to be on the front line, but it's clear in the halacha that those people still have to work on the back lines. This person does pater completely. Who said the word about Erison?
The four people who's
Erison. Okay, fine. I'm sorry. Yeah.
So why is it philosophically? Why is there a difference here? You have a shnei lav, one lav. There is no lav whatsoever. Mm-hmm. So asking him to please not serve.
So what's the question?
One who became betrothed to his wife. Why is that different than one who became nesuin to his wife?
Here we're not talking. Here this halacha, which is the obviously more ambitious halacha, this is talking about where there is absolute nesuin. The Rambam is explicit. There was already a bia even. So
why
does
the halacha treat him differently?
Oh, so when you ask me a halacha on that, you ask the question on that halacha. I want to focus just on this. I mentioned it just as a contrast because the truth is, I remember when I was younger, like you get confused. But didn't we just learn this parsha? So, you know, to the point, there's a difference. The difference here, I'm not talking about who it applies to, that's a separate issue. But the difference here is in terms of what he gets potter from. And again, that may itself be part of the debate in Rishonim. Be that as it may, for those, if I lost anyone, it's okay. I'm pulling you back now. Be that as it may, bottom line, the Rishonim all quote two mitzvahs from this pasuk, one los asay and one asay. What I want to do for tonight's shiur is to... To be with her, to be naki mikol davar, and then the los asay is not to not do that. which in a sense is, again, this is not that this is what the Gemara meant, it's not. But in essence, if instead of being with her, you went off to fight in a war, you'd be over on two things.
And if you were with her earlier, you get a mitzvah.
Yes, right. So if you violate it, you'd be over on two, as you move off to the asay, and you're over the los asay. But it's also true, as Shraga points out, maybe I wasn't clear enough, if you stay home with her, so it's not just that you weren't over an avera, it's that you fulfill a mitzvah. There's a mitzvah
that at the end of the year you get it, you know, or is that...
It's a good question. It's a good question, right? Let's say, you know, for 10 months, and then after that, you know, you get a little, you know, sometimes a little space is good. You know, I got to cut this trip in Des Moines. I don't know. That's a good question. In general, I mean, we have this as a meta question or hakira in mitzvos, you know, half the mitzvos in the Torah probably, whenever you have shiurin or things, you know, is it all or nothing? Right, so I'm not sure. You know, when it comes to shiurim, for example, like Rav Shechter always quotes from the Rogachover. The Rogachover in many places discusses this chakira, where he speaks about whether it's what he calls a shiur tzira for a shiur nekuda. Is it like for a kazayis? Is that you're building, and every little bit, even below the line of kazayis, is part of the mitzvah, because it's building up to the kazayis. Or is it, you know, like a high bar, right? If the guy in the Olympics doesn't get over the high bar, it doesn't matter that he jumped 5 feet. If he gets to 5'1", it's irrelevant. It's all or nothing. There's a bar. So that, you see that as a question, you know, mem sof for mikvah. How big the mikvah?
What is this? By kiddushin, every second the kiddushin is there's a story where he's...
Not with him, with some other gedolim, and some they make fun of it.
Higher than the Rogachover
said. Oh, the Rogachover,
maybe,
yeah. He made fun of it, right. Okay, right. So, right, some say maybe Kiddushin is a mitzvah every second, so Rav Chaim made fun. Okay, be that as it may, your question about here, I'm not sure, yes.
Maybe my fault.
That's part of the shir. Yeah, now every husband's got the same question. If I bet her a ring, will she be Malta? Okay,
new. Are you going to talk about whether they have to spend every night together?
That's not what I'm going to say. Although that's implied. Yes, okay, well, this is what we're discussing. Yes, this is what we're discussing. That's a little bit what Chanoch is referring to.
Every waking moment, you know, decide when he goes to work.
Oh, okay, so this is... We just started the sugya. We just started the sugya. Well, let me put this in. One thing for sure is we're talking about overnight. And we may even be talking about a long trip. Now, what constitutes long is a question which I don't have an answer for. But it's certainly not that you couldn't go to work during the day and come back home for dinner and to go to sleep. That's, no one thinks that. But the question of why you're leaving the house, that is going to be part of the discussion, and whether mechila works is part of the discussion. But what I want to do, instead of just seeing each of these different aspects of the halacha, and I have about five or six I want to discuss as isolated halachos, what I would like to first do is to share with you, I think, two different approaches that are found in the Mefarshim and the Rishonim, understanding the purpose of this mitzvah, and then we'll suggest, and we'll see how well it goes, that perhaps this machlokas, these two different approaches, actually are a running thread throughout all of these five or six different halakhic issues, in which you see debates on all of them, and perhaps they're all really interconnected, because they all go back to what is the shorish, what is the basic goal of this mitzvah. And even though they're not entirely different, they're subtly different, I think that they really do find expression in some of these nafkaminas. The two different approaches are, if in essence you could call it more positive and more negative in terms of the establishment of the relationship. I didn't take out the Sefer HaChinuch, but if you look at the Sefer HaChinuch has very interesting language. Sefer HaChinuch basically says kind of what I was half jokingly saying before, but in all seriousness, Sefer HaChinuch says, what is the purpose of this mitzvah? The Sefer HaChinuch is famous for giving the reasons for mitzvahs. Sefer HaChinuch says, because the purpose is to get to know your wife better. Now you can extrapolate, you know, who knows how well they even knew, you know, I'm not sure what the courtships were in the time of the Sefer HaChinuch, because we don't really know who wrote Sefer HaChinuch, so I certainly don't know what they were. The Sefer HaChinuch's authorship is still unknown, exactly. But whether you have a 10-month courtship or what's more fashionable nowadays, even less, even if you 2 years, whatever, it's not the same thing, obviously. When you get married, it's already a different thing. And Kal vachomer, if you have a somewhat relatively succinct courtship, says, so you've got to get to know each other. Like a marriage counselor. The difference is you got to get to know each other. The Sefer Chinuch, he puts it into a general philosophical framework. He says, we know that in life, you only become attached to things that you're morgul to, that you habituate yourself to. Things that are more new and more foreign to us, we're less comfortable, there's less sense of intimacy. So the more you are margul yourself around your wife, the more time you spend with your wife, hopefully, the more closer you will become to her. And he adds, it's interesting, because this goal is, I forget the exact lashon of the chinuch, but he finishes the thought, he does not leave it unsaid. He says, he finishes the thought and says, so that you should make sure that you look at every other woman as unappealing. Strengthen that relationship so that you should never be tempted beyond your marriage. That is the Sefer Chinuch's approach. So leave it, that last comment is certainly interesting, but the main thing is, he's saying positively, the mitzvah Shana Rishona is to get close to your wife. Build that foundation for the rest of your marriage. Mamish, I don't know if they know about it or not, but this is what the Kal teachers tell and the Chosin teachers tell. This is exactly, it comes from a Chinuch. There is a Sefer, there was a Machaber in this time period of Lubav Shonim known as Rav Menachem HaBavli. And he has an extant Sefer, although it's not as familiar as other Sfarim on the shelf, right? I didn't see it inside. But a number of Achronim, including the Chasam Sofer and a Tshuva, quote Rav Menachem HaBavli, who says something very interesting and different than the Chinuch. What is the purpose of the mitzvah? The purpose of the mitzvah is, what's the context? The context is war. Says the Chinuch, says the Rav Menachem HaBavli, how can you be expected to go off to battle when the love of your life, your wife, is all the way back home? How effective a soldier are you going to be? You're going to be distracted. He goes so far as to say, again, it's certainly, he equals the Sefer HaChinuch in the romance category, if you will. He says, how could you, it's a very poetic language, he says, how could you be expected to fight when half of your body, Chatzi HaGuf, is still back at home? So, because you'll be distracted, you'll be ineffective, you'll do more good, you'll do more harm than good. You can't have a soldier who's, supposed to be guarding the fence, daydreaming about his wife. He's got to be attentive. And somebody who's barely got to know his wife, and now he's got to run off to war, he's still in that newlywed bliss, and you run him out of the house and say, go off to fight? Says the Rav Nachman Bavli, we're worried that the person will be distracted. And the truth is, if you take a look at Rabbeinu Bechai on the parsha of Chozrei Morcha Melchama, the parsha, again, the cousin of our mitzvah, of the people who are at the battlefield, and then the Kohen Gadol lets them go home. If you look at Rabbeinu Bechai, he seems to say something similar, that someone who at that point, even when the Kohen Gadol is speaking, he's not in the battlefield, and he's thinking about his wife, he's going to be too distracted, he's going to be an ineffective soldier.
Perhaps he's playing Lo Yavar Lo Chodor, he's talking about war stuff, right? But Lo Yavar Lo Chodor, it can't do anything, and that has nothing to do with war.
So that's a question on anybody then, no? Why is that just a question
about Menachem HaBavli? Because he's talking about...
But Alan, you're as sharp as ever. Hold that thought. Hold that thought. What you're getting at is a question which is, I already mentioned we're going to get to, which is a machlokas of what types of trips does this refer to? How expansive a halakha is this? And I agree with you. You're mentioning how that fits into the title of the pasuk, which I'm probably not going to get back to. But the conceptual issue you're raising and how it may work better or worse for one of these shitas, that I agree with, and what we will see that in Mitzvah Shem shortly. So these are the two basic approaches. Is it more positive to get close to your wife, or is it in essence the negative of, well, mamela, you're going to be distracted, so how can we have you go out to battle, you'll be an ineffective soldier. Okay. Let's see some of the different issues that dot the halakhic landscape of this mitzvah, and I think perhaps we could see some themes that are running through, certainly in specific shitas, but beyond that as well. The question that some of the Rishonim deal with implicitly and others explicitly is, who is this Achiyav on? So we have two candidates, perhaps. One is a very specific example, one is a much bigger group of people. One obvious candidate, which we've been taking for granted, is who's the mitzvah on? The chosen. What's another possibility? Everybody else.
It's for war.
Hey, everybody else, right? Yeah, don't schlep the guy off to war. Listen, Misha, we need you. No, he's supposed to be there. It's a son of Rishonim. Don't you know that? You can't slap him off the war. So if you look at the Rishonim, not all address themselves to this in any way, but some seem to say explicitly one way or the other, and others are more a hint at it. The Sefer HaYireim, Rav Lezer Mimitz, he never mentions anything but the Chosin himself. He's very explicit that this mitzvah is a chiv on the Chosin. So if I'm the general and I'm trying to schlep him away, so he has a chiv not to go away, but that's not a mitzvah on me, and I'm still not over on anything by trying to get him to go. It's his responsibility. It's his wife. He's got to stay there. I'm a general. I got to worry about that. That's the same for Yireim. The Radvaz in the Tshuva and the Minchas Chinuch on this mitzvah, the Minchas Chinuch, also says the same thing. It's a chiv on the husband, nobody else. It's interesting that, I'm sorry. Take that all back. The Yireim says that. The Smag, in his Mitzvos Lo Sasei, the Smag, I mentioned to you, the Smag is one of those also counts two mitzvahs. So in his Lo Sasei, he very much implies that it's not just the Chosen, but it's even the Tzibur that's prohibited from putting these responsibilities on the person. The Rambam is interesting. The Rambam, if you take a look, the Rambam seems to really break down. In the Mitzvos Asei, the Rambam says, very much focusing on the chosin. He should see finally his yachid hachosin im ishto shana tamima shlo yisa chutz liirav liyatsa betzava. All of it is focused on him. Aval he should yisa mach ima ad mlo shana, etc. All on him. However, in the mitzvahs lo sasei, the Rambam's lashon is he should surana mehosi hachosin mi beiso shana achas, etc. lo letzava. Which already sounds like it's not talking about to the chosin, but about the chosin. And then he even mentions about other things like helping with the food and the weapons, which he's still not supposed to do. That's how he understands all yavar lov l'chol davar, two types of war, the front line and the back line. Aval ata ma'avir al acherim. You should get other people to do this. And then he adds, v'dak yechosin atzmo, dam ken muzhar mila ses mi beso. So it's clear that until then, the Rambam wasn't talking about the husband, he was talking about other people. Where he doesn't have that focus at all, and this is Asei. And in fact, there are those who suggest that this may really be a divide. In other words, maybe the Asei is only on the Chosin, but the Los Asei is on everybody else. And in that case, it would be Meduyuk, that the Smag who talks about the Tzibor specifically mentions him in the Los Asei. So the Smag, in that sense, may be very much Meduyuk-like what seems to be the mashmos of the Rambam. The Sefer HaChinuch, however, certainly disagrees, because Sefer HaChinuch, even on his first mitzvah, the Mitzvot Asei, the Sefer HaChinuch even then explicitly says that it mentions both the Chosin and the general, the Sar Tzava. It's his language. Even the general can't do it. So we definitely have this machlokes. It's interesting, getting back to Lo Yavar Lo L'Chol Davar, the Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva. I don't know, I didn't check to see if Chasam Sofer says anything in Sefer Shal HaTorah. The Chasam Sofer and the Tshuva point out that there is a machlokes Ramban and Mizrahi, Harshanei HaTorah, on how to understand that pasuk Lo Ya'avor. And without getting into the details, Chasam Sofer suggests that this may be a very technical machlokes on how to understand that pasuk. However, if you take a step back, I think it may also be dependent on the more global issue, which we started with a few minutes ago, which is, what is the essence of this mitzvah to begin with? If you hold that the focus of the mitzvah is that the husband and wife should bond together, so it seems very likely that that's going to be limited to the husband himself. Right? It's not my obligation for you to bond with your wife. But if you see it as the idea that he's going to be distracted, and therefore anyway he won't be a good soldier, so then that's already a very much a tzibur orientation. And if we're talking about his qualifications of a soldier, so that could very well be something that is not only his responsibility, but it may also be, which the Rambam seems to say it's both, may make sense that you would add a communal involvement. It's hard to understand why there should be a communal obligation if it's talking about just my personal relationship. If it's talking about my contribution to the tzibur, then it makes more sense that there is a communal element. So that's one interesting machlokas in and of itself, and again, it may very well depend on our question we started with. Now I want to get to something which we've already alluded to a few times. It's worth getting to now. It's a very big discussion, especially within the shittos of the Rambam. And again, I think it also may be dependent on this issue, but independently itself is worth discussing. And that is the question of how far do you take this halacha? Is the husband never allowed to leave the house? He's never allowed to go on an overnight trip. He has a business trip. His best friend, his brother, is getting married somewhere. Of course.
With his wife.
Obvious. Right. Did he marry anyone who wouldn't want to go to a baseball game? Anyway, Alan, you had you. It's September came out, right? It's Oral of September now already, right? Like, you can't. It's I can't control myself at this time of year for sure. You can't expect me even to. Okay. The Rambam says in Hilchos Melachim, like the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim, Perek Zayin, Halachos Yud through Yud Aleph. Rambam says, these are those who don't go out to war at all. Ein matrichen osam l'shum davar ba'olam. We don't bother them even for backline stuff. Shneamar naki yel lebeso. Right? This same, this pasuk that he quoted several mitzvahs. Pia kabbalah lomdu naki shana, etc. It should be free. And then the Rambam continues, kol shana kula, the whole year. We don't make him go out for mazon, and again, he's somewhat for the army, lamatakin derech, to fix the roads, lamashom rechoma, not to guard the walls, you know, internal, domestic defense, lo nosen lepes ye'ir, lo yavar lov shum davar, shenemar, lo yotu b'tzeva lo yavar lov l'chol davar, lo yavar lov b'shnei lavin, lo l'tzarech ye'ir, lo l'tzarech ye'hagdor. Again, as we saw in the services, Rambam understands that possible, like we were running two types of war. And what does Rambam never mention? Which now, since we see how he reads the pasuk of lav lav called over, it makes sense what in terms of his reading of the pasuk. And now we see it. What does Rambam never mention? Anything else? The only thing the Rambam mentions are different dimensions of the war effort. And even though there's a pasuk that seems to be more general, Rambam says that's other aspects of war. But can a guy not go on a business trip, even if it's for 2 weeks? Again, whether it's recommended or not, I don't know. But the Rambam says that is not included in this halacha.
So the Rambam is confident with Rashi, I suppose, that the Rambam recommends. Because Rashi doesn't say the same thing. So Yavra refers to the back lines. As opposed to a
Chosh B'Echad Makoma. Good. So this seems to be the sheet of the Rambam here in Sefer, in Mishnah Torah, seems very clear. And in fact, the Radvaz and the Tshuva and the Minchas Chinuch are very explicit. This is a halacha that's limited to war. It's not referring to other things. Yes. Yes, the Mechamas Mitzvah, the famous Maimon Chazal, not just in Shana Rishona, you live to the Chasam Michal Pasa. Kalam Michal Pasa, tell you, Chasam Mechedro, thank you. We always get the short end of the stick. How come men don't complain about being pious against, right? It's my Chopa too.
This has a lot to do with IDF today.
This I don't know about. Okay. Okay. The Chasam Sofer points out...
Israeli soldiers go during
okay. Good. That's, and you could argue it's Muhammad's Mitzvah.
If it's for him, why is the Mitzvah bound to Muhammad?
Oh, good. So that's where we're going to get to that. But let's first see the other Shitas. We haven't even seen the other Shitas yet. But just along these lines that are limiting it to war, the Chasam Sofer suggests that the Smak, that the Mitzvah's cut, and the Rishon also may agree, because the Smak never quotes this Mitzvah. It's not in his Minyan HaMitzvahs. Why not? So the Smak is known that he only counted mitzvos that are noheg ladoros. You're not going to get karbonos like the Rif. As Rif's not talking, the Rif doesn't talk about things that aren't noheg gizman hazeh. Smak didn't count things. He's not interested in listing you things that aren't noheg gizman hazeh. So he says the Chasam Sofer, perhaps a svara. If this would have been something that applied even to business trips and l'tzarchei mitzvos, then it would apply in 2006 just as much as it applied 2,000 years ago. It only makes sense that the Smak limited it to that Bezman Nehem, if he assumed it is limited to war, war requires a melech and being an Eretz Yisrael, and he, you know, what he would say about Bezman Azeh in Israel, I don't know. But certainly when they're living in Europe and in Golus, there's no sense of a Jewish army in a Jewish war. And therefore, as far as he was concerned, the halacha had no shaykhus. So in that, so to speak, backwards logic, Chasam Sofer deduces perhaps that the Smach also should be included with this Rambam, and that's why he never quoted it, because for him it doesn't have any application other than war, which perhaps in his, you know, all likely wouldn't have been applied in his day. However, there is a whole other school of thought, most notably associated with the Sefer HaChinuch, but it's also more recently quoted by the Chochmas Adam passing this way. The Sefer HaChinuch is explicit. This does not just apply to war, it even applies to business. Perhaps even the Tzarchei Mitzvah, but certainly to business. Again, he doesn't give you an exact, to the best of my recollection, specific amount of time, you know, half an hour, 7 hours, 12 hours, how many hours you have to be out of the house. But at least it seems to me, barring explicit proof to the contrary, that to go off to work for the day is certainly fine. And maybe, you know, you could stretch it for an overnight or two trip. But the idea of a business trip is a sense of, you know, there was one of the members of our shul who went to the Far East this year. You know, he was away for a week and a half, 2 weeks from his family. I cannot hurry, his grandchildren are ready. But the point is, to do that in your Shana Rishona, according to the Rambam, there's nothing to be anything wrong with it, at least not strictly halachically speaking. Let's say Parachinuch, it's an Isser Daraisa. Just as much as we're going off to war, he holds that the context in the Parsha is war, but it might as well be applied to anything else. Where this gets interesting, at least from an academic sense, and I want to belabor the point, but just to mention to you, there's a whole literature on this, is that the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos is vague, but many understand the Rambam and Sefer HaMitzvos. Excuse me. In earlier parts in the Rambam, he is vague, but at the end, he gets very explicit. The Rambam seems to explicitly say it also does apply to business. At the end of the Rambam's Los Asay, he says, V'da ki achosen atzmo, Gamkin muzhar milotzeh mi beso, kolomar lalechas b'schora kol shanaso. Now, it's a black on white steer, it would appear. And it's really difficult to understand, because where would the Rambam get it from, as we pointed out, because the way he reads the psukim doesn't even seem to be a mocker for him, unless he just thinks it's a sfara.
I mean, where did the Rambam bring the halakha
in the Mishnah? Halakha, it's kind of war.
Again,
no, so the best. Not that I know. Again, it's very interesting.
Says that the Rambam embraces both sides. In other words, on the one hand, in terms of the Malachim, the Rambam says the tzibur has a mitzvah called you can't be put on the front lines, you can't be put l'sak and drava. That's on one side. But the Pasuk also has a reference to the individual Pasuk, telling the Pasuk do not do X, Y, Z.
Well, the
tzibur
has a mitzvah because of the situation.
I see. So you're saying it's... But let me ask you a question, just to be very to kind of really flesh this out. If I'm the Schossen's boss, and I send them on a business trip to Seattle, am I over on the Los Asay?
You're over in
Mitchell.
Okay, leave that aside. Am I over myself on this Los Asay of Shin Yud Aleph for the Rambam?
So according to the Rambam.
Meaning, just to make it clear, because if you hold there's a din in the Tzibur, which is what you're suggesting. Then there would be, which is say for Chinuch says explicitly. Then there is a. Then if I'm the general and I strapped him, I am over an Avera.
Right.
So do you think? So Cora, what you're suggesting is perhaps, if I heard you correctly, is that maybe when it comes to the Chosin himself, that does apply to business. But maybe when it comes to the boss or to the Tzibur, it doesn't apply to business.
Well, the Tzibur is not his boss. Is not the Tzibur. His boss is his boss. Is one person. The general is the Tzibur. He comes to Shulchan of the Tzibur. The power of the Tzibur. So that has been. That they're not allowed to send him a Mulchama. That's why Hilchos Malachim, that's all Ram talks about. Because that's all that matters. Looking at Hilchos Malachim, Ramach Strah. That's all that matters. There's a separate question, which is this Chosin has a mitzvah. He has a mitzvah that says he shouldn't go out.
So there are two mitzvahs, or there's only one mitzvah?
There's one mitzvah that has two aspects.
Could be. Okay, good. Good. Before we try to really pull that together, I just want to note the following that it may be academic, because the Radvaz, in this same tshuva, where he thinks it can't apply to business, and after all, the Rambam says it in Mishnah Torah. So the Ravaz says that this is just a mistake in Sefer Mitzvos. It's a shibushu. So, I don't know. He claims, if I'm not mistaken, the Lashon, the Tshuva of the Ravaz, he claims that old Nuschos seem to support him. So more recently, for those who are familiar, there was a great, great Talmud Chacham. He lived, I don't know exactly his whole biography, but he lived somewhat of a tragic life, certainly in terms of not achieving the acclaim that he probably rightfully deserved. The early part of the century was a great Talmud Chacham named Chaim Heller. He had been in Berlin. He was very, very prominent in Europe before. In fact, that's where Soloveitchik became very close with him in Europe. But in America, never, I don't know the whole details, he never really found his footing, certainly of the prominence that he deserved in America. But one of the things he was known for, aside from being a classical Talmud Chacham, was he was one of these great Talmud Chachamim who was very involved in certain academic Jewish studies in trying to, you know, so to speak, preemptively show how those are not threatening to more traditional approach, as opposed to very often in the non-Orthodox world, use certain academic approaches to try to impugn the firm world. And he was involved in some of the things. And one of the things that he's most well known for is he published a critical edition, and he was a big scholar in the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah. So you can buy in forum stores the Chaim Heller version of the Rambam Sefer Mitzvah. So on this, he has a whole footnote where he discusses. He gives you a lot of marmakamos, including the Radvaz, and he suggests, he quotes some ancient, one of the first targumim of the Rambam by Ibn somebody from Aramaic into Hebrew, and he says in that original older nusach, which is I guess the earliest that Rav Chaim Heller researched, it supports the Radvaz. don't know if it doesn't have anything or that whole sentence doesn't exist. I'm not sure exactly, but he says very clearly that it wasn't like the Rav Vaz just said, well, I don't like it, so I'm going to claim it's a mistake. He claims from his academic studies that perhaps the Rav Vaz really was right, that the Rav never said such a thing. Lahayid Rami Olam. Hard to know, at least for me, 100%, but it is worth noting that this is out there.
Is the Baal Rav amended as the Rabbanon
Olam? No, not if you put it in Sefer Mitzvos, no. So just to mention that it could be, I think it could be Docha, this too, but it may very well be that you could argue that, and this is what was mentioned before, in light of the Chakira we're discussing, so it's worth just fleshing out how this would work out. So, for example, it may be the Chinuch makes sense, L'shitaso, right? The Chinuch is, very much mentions, we said he mentions the Chosin and the General. Why the General? Because he's focusing on the communal aspect. So the idea is he's going to be distracted. So then that may be true about anything. That's not just, the bonding between husband and wife. And therefore, why Mali, business Mali, if you're away for 3 weeks on business, can be just as destructive for the relationship as being 3 weeks at war. However, those who limit it to war, so again, logically, that may be, if you hold that, the halacha doesn't have to be worried that you're going to be distracted and therefore you're not going to do as good an audit as possible when you go off to wherever. That's a private thing. That's your responsibility. But if the focus is, again, the tzibur, so that's where you really get hurt, where the tzibur is really dependent on you, i.e. at war, there we don't want distracted soldiers. Now, I think you could be doche if you assume... like the Radvaz, that since this is all the Tovas, the woman, in other words, this is, I think, what Alan might have been alluding to implicitly before, and the Radvaz says explicitly, when the Radvaz says, of course he should be allowed to go off on a business trip, the Radvaz adds, well, how's he supposed to support the wife? Don't you think the wife would want him to make a living? No, the wife might not want him to spend a long time on a vacation, on a business trip, I've never been away for too long, but even the one or two nights at most that I've been away, or a week most for the Israel mission, is not at all easy for my wife. She may be happy that it's part of my job and I earn a living, but even when you earn a living, sometimes it happens that you're going away, and I've never been away for 2 or 3 or 4 weeks. So people sometimes have very difficult commutes, but be that as it may, the Radvaz Svara is certainly a very logical and compelling one.
It's a department. Going to work is a department. He's certainly allowed to go to davening.
Again, we're not talking about going out of your house for an hour. We're talking about a long trip, so to speak.
Right, but if it's parnassah is a mitzvah, then
so the question is right. So the question, the question is twofold. One is, are the often not always, but often there's other ways to make parnassah. And number two is even when there's an absolute conflict. So then we have rules about how to negotiate conflicts. The question is there even a conflict? So those who limit it to war say there's no conflict about business, and that's the Radvaz Svara, because this is not part of that. It's also worth noting, by the way, before I forget, that there are poskim, I think it's the Chasam Sofer and the Chayyadah maybe, but some of the Chasam Sofer points out, all of this is true when there's a complete change of circumstances. In other words, if you're a camel rider, which is famous in the time of the Gemara, you'd be gone for long stretches of time. She knew you were majoring in camels when you got married. You're already working as a camel driver. So then, Aldas came, she married you. This is very explicit. If some, all of a sudden, she thought you were going to sit in Kola, and all of a sudden you decide, I'm going to actually be gone 3 weeks out of the month. So she never bargained for that. So, which is a thread we find in many halachas relating to marriage. Rav Yosef has famous tshuva about sheitels, a lot of different examples where l'kula and l'chumra were very, very much dependent on what were the assumptions of the marriage. And not that people aren't allowed to change one way or the other, but that you're a much weaker footing when you're changing something that was clearly a premise that one or both sides were going into the marriage with before. And we see this in many areas of halacha. The Chasam Sofer mentions that here too. Let me just mention, I'm going to run out of time. Let me mention two or three more areas where I think this might... Yeah, but in this other context. And it's in Ibn Ezra, the Rosh Hashanah discusses it a little bit. Okay. And it's worth noting also that the Aruch HaShulchan, very much in Alan's vein, just dismisses, not just that he disagrees, he dismisses the notion that this could be applied to business. How could it be? But again, it's worth noting that the Chinuch for sure says it, and maybe even the Rambam does, depending on this Girsa issue. Interesting, a very technical debate, but may very much be related to us, is the interesting thing. I mentioned that the Pasuk, when it's quoted here, Chavdal and Hey, says, Isha Chadasha. So the Gemara Darshins, what does that come to teach you? that it's this is your first marriage to her. But if it's what's called a Masa Grushasa, which is a couple that got married, got divorced, and then got remarried. I used to think of this as just like this theoretical concept until my father's best friend from college became a Master Grushasa. So I know one. So they do happen. They're not so common. Okay? And I don't know, and at least in the one case I know, the circumstances were strange. It's hard to imagine a very normal Master Grushasa case. Yes, for last I heard. Baruch Hashem is right. So that's the Gemara. It's the Gemara Masechta Sota. Comes along the Stei Chemed, quoting from a sefer called the Sifrei Debei Rav, who wants to know the following. And here we get back to a little bit of your point earlier, very technically, but not in the way, just as an aside, overlaps. What about a Maser Grushasa Menehrison? Ooh, that's like, okay, Kapulish. What if the couple never lived together? They had Erison, they had Karet Mekudesh Li, and then, before the Chuppah ended, to take a Kenever example, I always hated your father, I had to get him out of there.
There's no Bia.
Right, all there was Erison. There was never they didn't do Sheva Brachas. All there was Erison. So you need a get. Halacha is after the Kikah, you need a get. Then they make Shalom about the flowers, and I really do love your father, I never meant it. And then they get married. Is there a Halacha of Shana Rishana for that couple? So, that's the suffix of this. Okay, so good. Even the way, so what? Okay, fine. So the mice at some point in that, in between the chuppah and the eris, the kedushin and the nisuin, they got divorced, which you need a get for. They broke it up. You need a get. Now they actually decide they got over whatever differences were. Now they momish get married. They're living together. Wonderful. Mazel tov.
So you started this year by being told in via Smith.
Well, I was just reading the Rambam. The Rambam mentions that the date starts from then. Okay. So the Sifrei Debei Rav mentions this as a sparvi, so that he wonders. And the Stei Chemed says, perhaps it relates to our issue. Namely, if the focus is about reinforcing the relationship, so then it really should apply in this case as well, because they never had a chance. Masu Grushasas, we were married for 10 years. We hated each other for 9 of the years. So we finally got divorced, and now, you know, we were miserable apart, and we were together, so we'll get remarried. You don't need a year to get to know each other again because you knew each other plenty. You're Master Grushoso. But in the case of Menehrison, you never lived together. So then it should apply to them. But if you say it has to do with the idea that we don't want the person to be distracted, so then the Stechem suggests it's just a Svara. Definitely, if you wanted, you could argue on this, but the Svara, it's not a bad Svara. He says, listen, when it's new, when it's fresh, it's a first marriage, so then you could be distracted. But Lamaisa, if you already knew each other quite well because you already Muris together, and needless to say, this is not a completely unvarnished relationship. You even got divorced already once. You're not going to be so. You might be happy to be married to her, but you're not going to be the kind of starry-eyed and love guy that's going to be so distracted on the battlefield. You can go off to war. So Stei Chemed suggests that this suffix may be dependent on our issue. Another interesting thing that the Stei Chemed quotes a tragic case. He quotes the name of another one of these Achronos HaSfarim that he digs up. What if, like, very soon after the wedding, the chosn was either hospitalized for a certain period of time or in jail? Those are two scenarios that he gives. For 6 months. 6 months later, Baruch Hashem, he's free. He's like that news guy who got, those newscasters who got freed, or he got out of the hospital, Baruch Hashem, and now he comes home. Says the Sefer of the Stei Chemed quotes, we count the time he was in jail. Or count the time. So 6 months later, Shana Rishona is over. And the Stei Chemed says, look, you crazy? The halacha is you're supposed to spend the year with your wife. So if you weren't with her for a wife because you were in jail or you were in the hospital, we're going to, that's a formal lambda shadin, 6 months, 6 plus 6 is 12. You weren't there with her at all. Who cares that you were married? You were in jail. And, oh, so you're, like, you're saying like, yeah, it's just, it's more intuitive. So certainly the Stei Chemed makes the most sense. How, what could possibly be the svara of the first one? So perhaps exactly. The only it's very hard to understand, but as a svara, perhaps it only makes sense. It's probably wrong, just push it wrong. It's very hard to believe. The Chemed is probably right. But as a svara, you could say that if the issue of being of distracted, even if you haven't been living together for the first 6 months, but the bottom line is it's not new after a year. I mean, we do have such a concept, right, for shikacha, in the other direction, God forbid, with a mace, right? Doesn't matter what you were doing or not doing. There's a certain sense of things wear off after a year. So if you spent the time in the hospital or with your wife, either way, at the end of the year, it's still a year since he got married, and things do arrive. I want to mention one last thing because it's so relevant halachically, and then we'll end because we're running late, and that is the question of mechila, which was asked before. Right. Let's say it's, so the woman was a big one of Eretz Yisrael, and she says, it's okay, I want you to go out to war. We got to fight. I'm Oichelzai, go. That does not apply here. So the Chinuch says that Mechila, does not work. She cannot be Mochel. Very good. Chinuch is Lishitaso, because the whole purpose is for them to be closer. Well, she doesn't want to be close. That's not her choice. Right, but that's his Chiyuv. No, like, this is not a din in Simcha, says the Chinuch. This is a din in Ahava.
I'm saying, the Pasuk does say the Simcha Chishta.
Right.
So that
doesn't mean that's a chiv you owe her. It just means that's
the
way you.
That's the purpose of
you're doing it for her. But again, it's not like giving her a gift, like pre-yantav giving her an address. Because it's because you're also part of the relationship.
You're supposed to be home making her happy.
No, I don't think that's the case. I don't think that's not how the chinuch understands it.
No, I'm saying that's true. I know that. I'm asking the chinuch.
Okay, fine. But that's what the chinuch says. The chachmas adam explicitly says that there's no reason why mechila shouldn't work, which is what Shraga was saying. And even though I didn't see any poskim who quoted the Chasam Sofer in this context, but if you take a look at the Chasam Sofer, I think maybe they just miss it. When the Chasam Sofer, which was we spoke about him most when he was speaking about business versus war, so when the Chasam Sofer at the end of the day says, listen, Lamaisa, the most Rishonim seem to say that you can go away for business, and the Chinuch who said no was a Das Yochid. So the Chasover says you probably are allowed to go, and certainly Nitzilus Rishos helps. So unless you want to say really a Lamdusha thing that Nitzilus Rishos only works for business but doesn't work for war, I don't know. But certainly in principle, the Chasover seems to agree with the Chachma Sodom that Nitzilus Rishos works. And again, logically, one would probably say the following, and that is that if you hold that it's a din and distraction, so then maybe if she's mochalim, then he's not distracted. Whereas if you say, no, it's positively to reinforce and to create the relationship, so then it's not a question of mechila. If you're not with her, you're not creating the relationship. I want to mention one last thing when it came to the question of even the 6 months and that kind of thing. There is a Hamek Dover on the Pasuk, who, again, it is a mitzvah, even though he doesn't talk about it as a mitzvah. It's a mitzvah. Rishonim quoted it as a mitzvah. But the Hamek Dover has a whole different twist on this mitzvah. Beyond, he says it's also a matir. Who gave you the right to spend time with your wife when the nation's at war? You were worrying about your relationship, ooh, all the love. Ooh, getting rockets from Hezbollah. Says the Hamek Dover, the pasuk here is giving you not so much a mitzvah, even though it's a mitzvah, it's a matir. Whereas without this pasuk, it wouldn't be, unethical. It's not just a mitzvah to be with your wife. It's a matir, because otherwise it should be usher. You'd have to be out there with the battle troops. You have to be helping everyone. And it could be, even though no one else really says this, and even this is in a chumash context, a pshat context, but it could be that that's also a relevant factor, even in terms of what we said, you know, what logic is it to extend it beyond a year? You know, to limit it to a calendar year and to say, well, you're in the hospital for 6 months, so you only have 6 months left. The spur for that may be this matir. In other words, the matir may expire after a year. After a year, you know, again, it's like when you, if you buy something, there's a year warranty. You're going to say, but I didn't use it yet? Right? Yes. If you use it 100 times in the year, so then it broke, then you get I only used it 4 times. They don't care. The warranty's up in a year. So according to Hamek Dover, you have a whole other approach to this. The warranty, in a sense, the matir is up in a year. You spend the time with her, or you don't spend the time with her, but your neighbor's fighting. How much time can you spend? So that's just as a final marker. Mr. We shouldn't know war, we should only listen to our marriage.